Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're live because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachem, instructions of mercies. This is now the 288th class of Soul Class, and today's humble presentation will be a taste of Tehillim, Psalms, class program tutorial number 3, where we'll be exploring Chapter 1, verse 3 from Psalms, which reads as follows in the English, quote, "He shall be as a tree planted beside streams of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaves will not wilt, and whatever he does shall prosper." In the meantime, may the Most High bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. Didn't have breakfast yet, so I guess that counts for a little bit of mental logjam. Now, blessed souls, the call to arouse other human beings, all blessed and anointed with a divine image, is connected to the idea that when we look out into the creation, and today, although it's not the totality of the Day of Judgment, for all of us in one collective conglomeration, congealment of all human souls, there are various levels of judgment which can be ameliorated, softened, and even transformed through the agency of prayer. And within that context, I'd like to just pluck out of something from a letter that was written by the Lubavitch Rebbe 49 years ago, talking about complaints against the new generation by perhaps the older generation of that time, for sure the older generation of that time, which was the generation which had weathered the storms and the fires and the various levels of hell on earth, World War II, and all the negativities that we are aware of if we just look into our history books that we can look in, according to where we are in the world. But then in the face of all that, a new generation arises, as every generation. There is the older generation raising the new generation. And young people, as the Rebbe addressed, are quite prepared to accept this challenge with all the consequences of questioning the order of things. And there are others who understand that there's an order to creation, but not necessarily are going to accept it. And there has to be accorded at some level respect for the elder generation because they raise the younger generation to take up a new challenge. And this challenge is more accessible for the human family experience. In 1964, when the Rebbe wrote this letter, 5724 in the Hebrew calendar date, it's much more easily available to us to accept challenges because of the wide disbursement of knowledge, all different types of knowledge, whether it be Torah or Lahavdil, secular knowledge. Because there was a time when the Rebbe reflected in this letter, as he stated, the olden days when it took a great deal of courage to challenge prevailing popular opinions and ideas, and the person who had the courage to do so was often branded as an impractical individual or a dreamer. And furthermore, it was in the Rebbe's opinion that this is also an advantage because many of our young people do not rest content with just taking up a challenge which has to do only with beautiful theory, even deep thinking, but want to hear also about the practical application of such a theory, not as only an occasional experience, but as for a daily experience, and that is the idea that appeals to them most. And there's a further asset in the changed attitude towards the person who brings the challenge. Even though it might seem logical that the one who brings the challenge to the young people, and young people can also mean, i.e., people feeling youthful, whether they're chronologically young or at whatever age they are, 50, 60, 70, 90, 119 years old, they feel spiritually, emotionally charged, a sense of youthfulness, that the challenge to this quote-unquote category of young people, young in chronological terms and young in spiritual and intellectual, cognitive, emotional sense of renewal, youthfulness. So bringing the challenge to this category of human beings, to young people, should have a background of many years of identification, personification of the idea which he or she promotes. But that's not even expected or required in these days because, of course, in this wireless computer, DSL, smartphone, iPhone, BlackBerry, Blueberry, Strawberry world, we can see quick and radical changes at every step in the physical world. It's possible in this physical world, blessed souls, as from the teachings of our sages of Israel, that a person can acquire an eternity in a single instant, that sense of transcendence. And that level of transcendence experienced by that person can, in fact, ignite the person, empower them for the rest of their days upon the living earth. Thus, no individual, therefore, can ignore his or her duty to share a newly won truth. Even if the person has no record of decades of identification with it, and as a matter of fact, this may be an added advantage because it brings to the person a sense of freshness in presenting to others that there can be a precedent where a person can access knowledge very quickly, not necessarily have the total understanding of that knowledge, But the fact that they feel a sincerity to want to learn more about that knowledge and share whatever knowledge he or she has gathered and share it with others. But in contrast, there's a saying of wise men about true wisdom. When a person wants to access knowledge, they will also be accessing more pain because they will realize that as they start to get more connected to the consciousness of wanting to connect to infinite wisdom of the Ein Sof, of the infinite creator, the one becomes painfully aware of the distance which one still has to cover. And that distance between ourselves and the infinite creator is indeed infinite. Now, helping us bridge this gap is accessing teachings of Torah, and in this particular case, a simple verse here from Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, from King David. Again, we'll read it again. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that gives its fruit in its time, and whose leaf never withers, and every day he does, and everything that he does will be successful. He will be successful, or he or she will be successful in all their ventures. So a question can arise, blessed souls, why would King David in chapter 1, verse 3 liken a man, for a person who desires the Torah of the Ein Sof, of the infinite creator, why would it be a praise for a person to be likened to a tree? Why not liken a person to an angel, or to a lion, or to an eagle, or to a dolphin, which is a very brave creature in the ocean, who at times has saved the lives of human beings? Well, from one perspective, we can take a look quickly and succinctly from the Ben Ish Chai's, the Chacham from Baghdad, from his plucking out generously from his Sefer Chaim V'Shalom, the Book of Life and Peace, where he points out a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 19, again, connecting the idea of tree and man, man and tree. Is the tree of the field a man? And that was relating to the idea in the larger context of that section in Deuteronomy, Devarim, when the Israelites were besieging a city to conquer the land of Israel, they should not destroy the fruit-bearing trees of the inhabitants of that city. But what's this idea again? Getting back to the more microcosmic perspective here, idea of likening a man to a tree and a tree to a man. As it's known, a person who is devoid of divine instruction, meaning has not learned Torah, is not afraid, therefore, to transgress Torah instruction. On the other hand, a person likened to a tree planted or rooted by streams of water, the Ben Ish Chai instructs us, alludes to a person's dedication to the learning of Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebaal Peh, the written and oral Torah traditions. Comes along the Metzudas David, another great rabbinical commentator on this verse, who embellishes the point that good award awaits the learners of Torah, like a tree constantly supplied by an abundance of water. Water is likened to chokhmah, wisdom, an innate perception of profundity. So too, the learner of Torah, how much more so that one who learns proficiently, properly, with the right spirit and attitude, devoid of hatred and jealousy, in competition against other learners of Torah, or even those who are not learning Torah. This type of consciousness, when one engages in Torah, shall bless that person that he or she shall be well taken for, will be well taken care of, excuse me. So we see, blessed souls, the tree, which is multi-branched by streams of water, is talking about a development of consciousness of the written and oral Torah of Israel. And being planted by streams of water alludes to accessing and opening up one's wisdom, chokhmah shebanefesh, the wisdom of one's own soul, connected ultimately to a person's success and all their endeavors. The Malbim, also looking at this verse, comments that a human being planted by streams of water, in actual real-time reality, has been replanted within higher realms of consciousness after uprooting his or her desire from the more coarse grub or material earthly pleasures for the sake of just grub human pleasure. Meaning, we're not promoting an idea that a person should not seek pleasure on this earth, but the pleasure should be for the sense of sensitizing one's wisdom, one's understanding, one's knowledge, accumulation of Torah knowledge, and even secular wisdom, as it will help a person empower other people to live better on this earth. This whole idea of uprooting and being planted, we want to uproot ourselves for pleasure, for the sake of coarse pleasure, and try to elevate it to the sense of the pleasure of having our senses refined and elevated, reconfigured to the ultimate pleasure of Torah study. It's not an easy thing. I can't say I've achieved that level of spiritual, intellectual, mental actualization, but I'm just sharing with the blessed souls, just speaking quite frankly, from the gut, from the kishkas, as we say, from the heart, hopefully reflecting some sort of cognitive positivity, that if we want to be planted in the streams of water of success in Torah, or Torah in success, or success in our Torah learning, we have to access the written and oral Torah traditions of Israel. And also we have to preface that by uprooting our sense of what is truly pleasurable in this world, and to understand there are pleasures in spiritual realms which can come down into this physically earthly realms to empower us to make it a better world and to have a level of success, each one according to their portion, blessed and anointed in this world. We then know, blessed souls, where the phrase from the verse blossoms before our eyes, from chapter 1, verse 3 in Psalms, quote, that yields its fruit in due season, end of quote. Whereby a Torah master will be greeted by eager students, when a Torah master will be greeted by eager disciples, Talmidim, he will be blessed to share the fruits of his own personal efforts from the toiling that he or she engaged in learning Torah. And therefore, fruits in due season is that the true Torah student / teacher / master shares fruits in the proper time with the proper students by virtue of the fact that they have already engaged in what we mentioned before, uprooting themselves from just gross earthly pleasures for the sake of growth earthly pleasures, for the higher pleasure of learning Torah in the written and oral Torah, will be successful and will now be ready at any time to discuss Torah in a proper manner that will be acceptable and create a sense of earnestness on the part of his or her students to want to learn more for him or her who has mastered some portion in Torah. When we say master, not to know the entirety of the whole Torah, but that particular piece of Torah that they can elucidate in a way that will empower others to want to grow in the eternal path of Torah. Concerning going further into this verse, chapter 1, verse 3, and whose leaf never withers. Blessed souls, not only should we only drink and thirstily from the pristine teachers of righteous Torah scholars, masters, Mare Daraisa, it would serve us as a springboard of additional blessings to internalize and hopefully share with others, that we should also pay heed as well when access to also whenever possible in a proper manner, and it's also easier today because there are many discussions which have been conducted by Torah scholars throughout the ages which have been written down in books, and with the advent of modern technology, we can see videos of Torah scholars conversing with other Torah scholars or other people who are, say, businessmen or lay people, you know, common folk like you and I. and we should pay heed to how they interact with others when they discuss not only pristine Torah teachings, but also matters according to the world at large, with discussions how to improve a situation, whether it be go to a doctor, whether it be make a business investment, whether it be build a school, whether it be start a new charity fund, a mosad of tzedakah. So this whole idea of the leaf never withering from chapter 1, verse 3 is alluding to also paying heed to how Talmid HaChamim, authentic Torah scholars, blessed souls, engage in sikhos chulin, discussion of even matters which seem to be mundane in their superficial presentation, but even a mundane conversation from a Torah sage has embedded within it the eternal DNA of Torah Hashem, enclosing itself after many, many contractions, simtumim rabim, to come out as what we call Eitza Tova, good advice. Now this type of fruitful output of authentic Torah teachings, as well as various instructions, how to carry out the mundane aspects of our lives, our lives, I should say. Again, I didn't have breakfast yet, bless those. Hopefully after the show we'll try to eat a little something. I juiced up this morning some ginger and carrot and lime. And we have some filtered water. Hopefully we'll make a nice l'chaim after the show. This type of fruitful output on the part of the authentic Torah scholar, as well as how to carry out one's mundane activities, is actually alluded to in a Torah prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 47. And now we're going to just turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm just pulling out here. You could hear me turning the pages. By the way, it's a rainy day today in Brooklyn, and it seems to have stopped. That's great, but rain is also a blessing. We're going to be talking again to get the idea of fruit and leaves and also streams. Here we go, blessed souls. In chapter 47, verse 12, the prophet Ezekiel gives us a prophet who was empowered by the Most High to give forth us an instruction, which ties intimately into chapter 1, verse 3 in Psalms. Here it goes. Chapter 47, verse 12. Along the stream will grow every species of food tree on its banks on one side and the other. Its leaf will not wither, and its fruit will not fail. Every month it will yield new fruit, for the waters will go forth from the Migdash, the sanctuary, the third eternal temple, blessed souls, to be speedily in our days, the Darchi Shalom and Darchi Noam, in a peaceful and pleasant way to be planted on, by the streams of the righteous acts of Israelites and the blessed children of Noah, with the intention that these fruit, the fruit will, so its fruits will be for food, and its leaves for healing. This is those in the realm of Torah Savora, just reasoning out these verses and connecting to the teachings of the sages of Israel that I just mentioned at the beginning of this humble presentation, we see there will be an abundance of fruit. There will be an abundance of Torah teachings, not just from various Torah sages of all the ages, but also as well from Mashiach, Messiah, who roared out Torah Chadasha, who roared new perspectives in Torah, which have never been revealed, even to the likes of Moshe, to the likes of Moses and King Solomon and King David and Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. And not only that, there will be healings going on as matters of wisdom in terms of healing the human family condition shall be revealed. So we'll leave it at that, blessed souls. We're also going to mention as well that these type of teachings in Psalms, you can read it, you can also sing it. And I hope, humbly suggest to you, blessed souls, that while you're learning these type of teachings, that you also please consider the idea that you may sing them out as well. Now, it doesn't have to be that you'll sound like Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Bob Marley, or Louis Armstrong. No, you have your own unique vibration. You have your own unique melody pouring forth from the essence of your heart. So, he shall be as a tree planted beside streams of water, which is also referring to a woman as well. Any person can learn Torah, man or woman. Just have to have a divine image, which we all have. A Telem Elohim, which is no dream, will help you get off and scrimmage your divine image on the field of life, which will be no strife. So he shall be as a tree planted beside streams of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season, its leaves will not wilt, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. So maybe a song you can construct out of this blessing. Just for your own, you know, you're doing the dishes, you're walking the street, you can just hum it in your mind. To be as a tree planted beside streams of water, which bring forth its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wilt, and whatever he does shall prosper. And that's just an example, but, you know, again, I'm not trying to be Frank Sinatra either, blessed souls, or even Shlomo Carbuck, just showing you that there's a certain plasticity involved when, if you want to, take the opportunity to chant out Psalms to Tehillim. Blessed, we're going to end off now with a wonderful example of how to do this from a professional singer, professional musician, Yosef Kaduna from Eretz Yisrael. We've played his song many times, and we hope to many times in the future with the blessings of the Most High. First, I'll read the verses from chapter 121, A Song of Ascents. Chapter 121 has 8 brief verses. A song for ascents. I shall raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the guardian of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shadow. He is by your right hand. By day the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from now into eternity. And hopefully we'll be in a way, but souls, until we convene again, everything should be weighing of Havachad, one love, Goralachad, one destiny of Kulanu for all of us, Badarchi Shalom, in a peaceful way, Darchi Noam, in a pleasant way, Bezat Hashem, with the help of the Most High, Lahamshich, to continue. Take care, everyone.
אשא עיני אל ההרים, מאין יבוא עזרי. עזרי מאיב השם, עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום, ינום ולא ישן, שומר ישראל. השם שומרך, השם צירך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. שיר למעלה, אשא עיני אל ההרים, מאין יבוא עזרי. השם שומרך, השם צירך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור אותך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. Hashem ishmor tzecha u'boecha me'ata ve'ad olam. Hashem ishmor tzecha u'boecha me'ata.